Live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Another look back at the recently concluded session of the Oregon State Legislature. And State Representative Gary Leaf on with us. Gary, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. You know, it's always great to be on your show, and it's even better to be at the end of my legislative session. You know, it's funny, we tried to hook up, I don't know how many times, over a dozen times, and my schedule was so full that I only had Fridays, and you had committed Fridays to someone else. But this has truly been a really unusual session, I can tell you that.
Yeah, talk about the unusual aspects. What was different about it this time around?
Well, let's start with the most basic issue, the lack of public participation. You know, I don't know of a time when the public was banned from the Capitol and that we passed so much legislation. Then there was the obvious issue of the pandemic and the need for many of our sessions to be held in a virtual environment, which we will probably do in the future, but we've got to fix it the way it is. And then finally, operating under this long-term set of executive orders has been a legislative challenge or nightmare, whatever you want to call it. And it's funny, you know, weeks before the end of the session, the CDC lifts the mask mandates. And we worked so hard to ask the speaker and the governor to lift the mask mandates, you know, for all the legislators. We're not open to the public. It's closed. And they kept saying no. And then 4 days after the session ends, they lift the mask mandates. Come on, man, it's so unusual. I don't know how much more unusual you can get.
So for the legislative part, kind of give us an overall broad brushstroke view of how you feel like the session went.
I think the session went as good as it probably could have went, given that it was a closed session to the public. You know, and there are some good points, and I've talked about this in the past. You know, having the ability to come in and talk to a committee via your computer, that's pretty impressive. You don't have to drive 2.5 hours like from Roseburg or, you know, 4 hours from Klamath Falls. You can just do it right in front of your computer. And I think that was really great. But there are some people that are kind of computer illiterate that don't know or can't do that kind of stuff who would want it to show up to a committee room hearing. And I think we could have done both easily. We could have been open to the public, 6 foot apart, masks, you know, mandated at the very first. Our committees, you know, in their committee rooms. And then people who wanted to talk in person could have done it there. And then people who wanted to do it by computer, we could have just shown it there. I think that would have been a better way to handle it. But, you know, probably some of the most important conversations I've ever had have been in the hallways going to or from a committee. We didn't have any of those. And we were booked, I was booked every 15 minutes on a call, and it actually got down to about 5 minutes. And people just couldn't get to me. They couldn't wave their arm and hand me a piece of paper and go, hey, look at this. Give me a call when you got a chance. It was all by a virtual Teams meeting or Zoom, whatever you want to call it. And I think that was a disservice to the citizens of Oregon.
What about the committees that you're involved in? Talk about some of the things that they accomplished.
You know, I was so excited coming into this session because the speaker had given me six committees, and they're very good committees. But by the end of the session, I was like, oh, my God, I just need a time to breathe. Like I said with you, I couldn't get any time because every single moment was taken up by my committee. So I had, you know, two subcommittee ways and means, one on public safety, one on transportation and economic development. And those were great. Each of those did probably about $15 billion through those committees. And they're basically looking at all of the agencies that serve through those different organizations like transportation and economic development stuff. But the problem became they just took up all my time, but they were great. But I was also the vice chair of two great committees, general government, which I think did a great job at the bills that were sent through them, and then human services, which is a huge committee. HR, you know, does DHS, does foster care, does, you know, all that stuff. And then finally, the full ways and means. And that was a real honor. I mean, it seems like it takes a decade to get on that committee. And I did it in this is my third term. So I was really honored through that. And I think we probably did about $80 billion through that committee. So it was amazing.
Talk about the funding, and you could probably explain it better. This was from the federal government, came down to the state, and then legislators were allowed to make designations for their individual House or Senate district.
Yeah, there's that's still being decided, actually. So there's federal funds that come down through, and I got $2 million from what they call ARPA. I think it's ARPA dollars. And what I did with that $2 million was I designated ESD to be the provider to all of our rural schools and Roseburg too, but mainly for technology and technology upgrades. Especially when you see us through this virtual world right now, I think you're going to see more and more of that. You know, where the kids are trying to train from home. You know, they've got some of their classes from home. And we just don't have the technology for the schools to be able to do a good job. So I was able to get $2 million, which I said ESD will distribute. And I put a big portion of that to, like I said, the rural schools, but also like the Roseburg School District, they got a big chunk of it too. So that was really good. I did work with the speaker on getting $1.25 million to help the Douglas Street project that they're going to do on their sewer upgrades, which I think will be really good. And then I had another $2 million that was given to us for what I call our tiny home projects that establishes this shared equity home ownership program. Part of it to go in Roseburg and part of it to go in Lane County. So I think they're split in two. And they've already done projects like this in Lane County, and I believe in Josephine County as well. And the home ownership program allows people to actually build equity into these like tiny homes while we take care of the land acquisition. So that's a great thing. Of course, you already know about the $1.5 million that I got for the homeless navigation center. I just had a meeting with my one of my staff members, Larry Rich, who does my communications for House District 2. And he is also the chairman of the Homeless Commission in Roseburg. So he's working tirelessly to make sure that that's taken care of. And kind of, this was kind of last minute, and we were actually shocked when we found out about it. And we're not quite sure, but it's what I had understood is there's $633,000 that we got for the UCC's landslide. Remember, they had that landslide out there that was unexpected. Well, it's either $575,000 or $633,000. We're still working our way through that, and we worked with the director at UCC and the board chairman on that. And so we're very excited about that.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back with State Representative Gary Leaf. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1 on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. We'll go in-depth on Graffiti Weekend. One of the organizers, Janine Coffey, will be in studio. We'll talk about all the things happening between then and Sunday for Roseburg's Graffiti Weekend. State Representative Gary Leaf on with us this afternoon. You were just talking about the ARPA dollars going to House District 2 and other lawmakers sending some to their district as well. With the big infusion of federal funds, do you feel like the money was wisely spent?
They were very cautious on the amount of money that they sent to me. And it's pretty obvious that a lot of the dollars went up into the metro areas because they, you know, they have the votes and stuff like that. So, you know, I can't answer that question right now until I finally see, you know, what happened to the dollars, how they were spent. But I think for the most part, when I looked through some of those things, and I tried really hard to get projects funded from Myrtle Creek and Riddle and Glendale, which we just didn't get any money for. And part of the problem was there was kind of a contentious problem with the Senate. So half of our Republican senators were in disarray with the other half, I guess is the best way I can say it. And so the president, he's the person that resides over the Senate, he put a kibosh on a lot of those dollars that I think would have been well spent in my rural House district areas. And we'll work on that in the future. But like I said, a lot of this just went to the metropolitan areas right now.
What about legislation you sponsored during the session? How did it fare?
You know, it's funny. Carol and I were working on that this morning because we hadn't really done any accounting of the bills that I had first started with and what got passed and what didn't. So when you chief sponsor a bill or you put the bill forward, then you hope that it becomes law. And through that process, you know, it takes the full gamma. It goes through committees after committees. Then it goes to the House floor. And then if it's approved, then it goes to the Senate floor. And then they do some changes and it goes back. Of the 30 bills that I submitted, I chief sponsored 23 of those bills that made it through the session. So I did really good on that. But to regular sponsor, so if I co-sponsored a bill with one of my cohorts and said, hey, I really like your bill, I'd like that to go through, I co-sponsored 179 bills that passed this session. And that was great. I mean, it took a lot of hard work from my staff, but we're really proud of it. And I'll tell you just a couple of the bills that I think are really important to me. So one of them was the CASA bills. And actually, there was a couple of them. They all kind of work together. One basically takes the volunteer program and allows it to contract with non-governmental entities so that they can serve statewide. And then also, I think it was $5.9 million that we asked for, and we got that. We got both those things. And that was really important. That took 3 years for me to get through. So it wasn't just a one and done. And I was the chief sponsor of that all the way through, along with another sponsor and Rep Neron. And we co-sponsored that as a bipartisan legislation. So she's a Democrat, I'm a Republican, and I'm real proud that we got through that. And then we also, I was able to help with common sense liability protection for small businesses as we come out of this pandemic. And then this is another one that I thought would be hard. I didn't think it'd be this hard, but we had a bill, it was 2989, and it was for career and technical education to be seamless through a K-14 system, because right now it's through a K-12 system. And so this K-14 system would make it real easy. So if I'm in junior high and I say, hey, I think I want to do, you know, this in my career in technical ed, then they have a program that'll go all the way through the community college. While that didn't pass, what they did do, which was I'm proud of, is they sent it to a work group, which I'm in charge of. And so there was one agency that didn't show up to give their opinion. And so we'll work that out. We'll bring it back in the short session. But I think that's going to be a great bill. Then one other one, not very well known, because I don't know where it is right now, but I did a House concurrent resolution 32 for former state representative Bill Markham, as you remember, Bill. And so that was all passed unanimously through the House and through the Senate. I believe the president has signed that, and now I just have to find out where it is so I can give it to his family. But, I mean, he did a lot of great things. I probably sat in one of his desks that he sat in. He was the longest-serving state representative in Oregon. He was amazing. And, as a matter of fact, he's one of the reasons why I'm up in the state rep right now. It's because he took me under his wings in the early 1980s And I fell in love with the state rep, and so did a great job on that. And then another one we're working on right now is House Memorial Resolution 7. So sorry, there's so much stuff to talk about.
All right, a lot going on, a lot to cover from the session. Out of time for now, State Representative Gary Leaf, thanks for being on.
Invite me back and we'll go over more.
All right, 1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.